Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
We all need to relax a little. We need to find our way to get through the coming winter months. It's already getting darker and darker, right? While the weather has been beautiful just now, we know that times are coming where in Chicago here, we're going to mostly be sort of hibernating, and sports are not going to be around. You know, the NBA, I think, announced they're not going to come back till after the new year, I think, once this wraps up. So we've got a while before the Bulls. I don't remember. I think hockey might do something around the same thing. So if the worst 3-1 team ever continues to go downhill, the Bears, starting tonight with the Bucks, then we're going to be pretty depressed around here. So we need to figure out how can we live a little better and survive the pandemic this winter. By the way, everybody, this is Matt Bubala filling in for Anna DeVlantis here on 720 WGN. Joining me on the phone right now is Jen Rose Smith, and she wrote a great article for National Geographic talking about how the Norwegians tackle this problem. They've got some, you know, weather a lot like Chicago, or even more so, a lot of the year, and they embrace it. Hey, Jen, how are you?
Hey, Matt, I'm good. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us. So, you know, your article really spoke to me, because while I'm looking out the 18th floor window towards Lake Michigan right now, and it's a beautiful sunny day here in Chicago, I know that a month or two from now, things are going to look very different, and we tend to go into our little seasonally affected disorder time of year where we're cold and it's dark and we're kind of sad. And with the pandemic layered on top of that, I think we all need some ways to try to tackle this. And I love that your article kind of at the end said, really, a lot of it's state of mind. Like, we have to find ways to find happiness in these things. How did the Norwegians do that?
It's really true. I mean, I think that, so the article is about this idea of free loose leaf, which is open air living. And I think the perspective is just finding value in spending time outside, regardless of the weather. I mean, like you were saying, I think a lot of us have this inclination to just lock ourselves indoors when it's cold out. But I think at the end of the day, we could spend a lot more time outside, and it doesn't have to be something elaborate. It's just going for walks, watching the natural world, just tuning into what's happening outside, even if it's cold and snowy.
And we could say, oh, Norwegians, what do they know? But they live kind of a really, they have some weather, not even their summer months, you wrote, they have a lot of rain. There's a lot of issues going on. And to them, it's, you know, one of the phrases you said, it rhymes in Norwegian, so it's better. But basically, there's no bad weather. There's just bad clothing.
It's true. I mean, and as far as Norwegians go, you know, I'm in Vermont. It's snowy. It's cold. It's already getting dark earlier. Yeah. But in Norway, there's people who live in places where it never gets light at some points in the winter. So I think that they definitely have this really hardcore winter experience that can kind of shed light on how to live well in the winter where we are.
And you mentioned that there's studies that show that 2 hours a week outside green spaces, you know, getting out more and more, does help with well-being. There's studies that show that this is important to us. And I don't know if that means fresh air or if it just means change of mind or seeing more greenery, but there is science behind this, right?
Yeah. I mean, we do best when we spend time outside. You know, people are stretched thin. People are really stressed out, and it really helps us out to get out, and that's true for our kids, too. Kids are a lot happier when they're able to spend a little bit of time in nature each week.
And I think that, you know, because I want to ask you, like, what are your tips? Because, you know, just last week I was talking to you, like, hey, I'm gone for the weekend. I'm practicing what I preach. I'm getting out. I'm getting away. I wonder what some of the tips are for doing that in our urban lifestyles and even our suburban lifestyles. Kids, I think, are one thing, but also there was a huge rush for people to adopt pets when this pandemic started. And so there's a lot of new dog homes out there. And for me, we have a dog at home, and it's a matter of forcing it, because in the wintertime, I think, well, I'm not going to take the dog. Sorry, dog. You're not going to get the walk that you used to. And maybe I just need to embrace it. Hey, this is something we need to do. Dress a little warmer and embrace this and get out there and get the exercise. And you're going to end up feeling, I guess it's one of those things, isn't it, Jen, where it sounds really awful until you actually do it and then you're happy you did it.
I mean, I think if we make spending time outside our first option and not an occasional option when we're looking to recreate, that's a really big start. So I try and put it on my schedule. So that might mean even on a busy day, I can get outside for a 15 or a 20-minute walk, and that really helps.
You mentioned in the article, and some things that were mentioned were like trying to have meetings outside and find green space and do things. It is a tall order, though, in February in Chicago. I have to say that.
Yeah, it's true. true, but, you know, that is, would the Norwegians say that about how there's no bad weather, only bad clothing? I really think that you can bundle up and get outside, even if it's a very short period of time. And I think spending some time outside when it's howling, windy, and snowy just makes the inside seem that much cozier and more pleasant afterwards.
Well, there is that, yes. Think of how good you'll feel when I let you back inside. But I wonder, you know, when we suggest things like that, and you're right, state of mind is such a big deal, but our state of mind is so ingrained in our culture versus in the culture in Norway, where really this is their culture. This is how they grew up. This is how you are. And I feel like it's that's tough to suddenly institute for us Americans.
Yeah, so I actually spoke with a psychologist who studies something called positive wintertime mindset, and she lived in Tromsø in Norway at 69 degrees north, and one thing that she learned was that people who survive and thrive in winter have things that they look forward to, and so for her research, she studied how people can change their wintertime mindset, and so that starts with, like, making a list of things you're looking forward to in the winter. And that could be something really simple, like, I like the way it looks when it's snowy out, or I love Christmas music. And so just kind of coming up with things and practicing the idea of looking forward to winter instead of dreading it can be a big transformational thing.
It's so important because the studies show it seems like everything we read, right, outdoors, open air is going to be the safest place if you're going to gather. And that's the tough part is the gathering. We're all good at the isolation part, but we really miss getting together with people. And we've so embraced here in Chicago, they're still blocking off streets and even recently blocked off streets, even though the weather's going to turn soon. And you worry about the restaurants and how they're going to do this winter. And if we all embraced it a little more, maybe it can help not only our minds, but our economy.
It's true. I mean, I put a fire pit in my backyard a couple weeks ago, and I think that's where I'm going to be spending time with friends with this winter. And I think there's a lot of ways to get outside, and you're absolutely right. It's going to be the best way for us to socialize, be happy, see our friends, and thrive.
I mean, there's sledding, there's skating. A lot of places have outdoor skating rinks, certainly here in the Chicago area, and even just walks and hikes. Are there other, like, you're a big hiker, I think, from our little conversations back and forth. If you're in an urban area, are there ways to, you know, get yourself to enjoy the walks a little more? I guess we generally put our heads down and walk, but maybe it is more of trying to find certain things or see certain things or, you know, find ways to enjoy the beauty more than just the drudgery of being out in the cold.
Yeah, I think it's really possible. I mean, I personally really love wildlife, and so I'm really tuned in the winter to noticing birds that I don't see the rest of the year. So the dark-eyed junco is something that I think will appear in Chicago for the winter that you're not going to see in the summer. And I think seeing some novelty and seeing some excitement in the winter world is a big part of that.
Well, the time is coming that we're going to change the clock soon. Things are going to get tougher and tougher. So we're going to try to keep this in mind. We're going to do our best. Here in Chicago, the thing we look most forward to sometimes in winter is something called dibs, Jen. I bet you've never heard of dibs, have you?
I'm not familiar with dibs.
So there's a lot of street parking within the city of Chicago. And when it snows, there's not a lot of place for that to go. And so when cars are parked, they get buried in the snow, and then the plows come by, and then they're even more buried. And so then when people dig out their own car from their parking spot, they just spent an hour, hour and a half digging that out, and then they have to go somewhere. They just did all that digging and doing all that. They don't want somebody else to then get to take that spot. So we put out old furniture or other crazy things that we have lying around in that spot, and we call dibs on it. That is my spot. I dug that out. I will leave this furniture here so that it is still here when I get back. And that's what we do.
That's incredible. Well, you have to be tough people to survive in Chicago, I imagine.
That is true. That is true. Jen Rose Smith wrote it for National Geographic. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Have a great winter.
You too. Have a great winter. That's right. 312-981-7200 is the Team Hochberg phone line. What is your plan to get through this winter? And I apologize if you hadn't even thought of that yet, but the winter is coming. We have to deal with this, and we're going to have to do it in a way that we maintain some sense of mental health. So what are your thoughts? Are you still going to keep trying to go outdoors? Will you hike, like Jen said? Will you get out and walk? Will you take the dog out? Will you go sledding? Will you go visit the neighbors? Just walk down the street and say hi to people? Or do you think, no, I'm going to be inside and it's going to be a dark one? 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala in for Anna on 720 WGN. I don't know if we're going to get outside and do much dancing, Pete. I mean, that's a thought, but it's going to be a little cold for that. Although, you know, cheek to cheek, I guess you could keep it a little warm. Thank you, Mr. Bowie. Matt Bubala in for Anna DeVlantis here on 720 WGN. You have ideas for what you're going to do when the weather really turns on us here in Chicago? 312-981-7200. Jane's on the phone. Hey, Jane, how are you?
Fine. I just want to say, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's so good to hear you, and I wish they would bring you back full time, and I'm going to make some phone calls.
Okay.
And it won't make any difference.
You get on it, Jane. Yes, you do that. All right.
I even listen to you at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I appreciate that.
Okay, so I'm a person that I, excuse me, I really love winter. I don't mind cold weather, and a lot of people don't like me talking like that. But anyway, we don't get a real lot of snow, but I'm hearing we might this next winter. I like to cross country ski.
Okay.
And then the forest preserves. You know, get out and walk in the forest preserves. It's free. Then also they have a snow, what do you call it? It's like walking with, like, they're like tennis rackets.
Snowshoeing.
Thank you, Laura. I didn't know where she was going there.
The brain left me. And anyway, so some of the forest preserves have snowshoes, and they I've gone and tried that. I really like cross country skiing better, but there's trails in the forest preserves. You can use cross country skis. Oh, and then Camp Sagawa, they have a place where you can rent. That's in Lamont, and you can rent cross country skis, and they have lessons there too. And I think, I guess that's walking,
that's
you know,
lot.
Hiking and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Jane, you're adventurous. You get out there and you do it because you're not one of us that's like, oh, it's cold, I don't want to go outside. You're still grabbing at it. Good for you.
Yeah, and you can even buy equipment at Played Against Sam. I have to get new equipment because my other equipment fell apart.
Yeah, Played Against Sports. Jane, thank you so much. A lot of great tips. I want to get to some of these other callers here and hear from Lauren and Marianne what they're planning to do this winter as well. Phil, what's your idea? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good. What are your ideas for wintertime activities to keep us active and mentally aware and a little bit more healthy maybe?
Well, I think there's going to be no greater need than we have this winter in terms of community service and lots of great opportunities, whether you're helping in homeless shelters, feeding folks, housing folks, anything like that. They're tremendous opportunities, and they're tremendously rewarding. So I would just suggest that people try to put some energy towards that because it's going to be really needed.
I really appreciate that, Phil. And that's a really good idea because not everything is necessarily about always being outside, but even getting out of the house to go somewhere and do something, whether it's community service or something else, I'm sure that's going to be a lot different than it used to be, and a lot of protocols will be in place. But Phil's right. There's going to be a great need. There's no doubt about that. Melanie, you're on 720 WGN. How are you?
Hello, Matt?
Yes.
Hi, this is Melanie. I miss you just like the other girl said.
Thank you.
Glad to hear your voice again. I am looking forward to winter, but unfortunately, I had absolutely no summer due to a coyote that has been visiting due to neighbors feeding feral cats next door, and they were putting out, I've been watching them for over 6 months now, putting out large amounts of food, and I have worked tirelessly through the proper channels to get this animal. She is here day and night, and I've been told by the village not to go outside. This man works with, I have a creek that runs behind my house. He says they're dangerous. I don't want you out here. So I've done everything I could possibly do. I've reached Springfield, and there's like some chain of command to come and get the animal, but now I've been introduced to some women who say they want to save the animal, and I haven't been able to go out.
Well,
I'm like, you
don't need a bunch of stuff to do this winter because you've got your winter booked. It sounds like you're going to have this going on.
What's that?
Well, you don't need a bunch of outdoor activities for the winter because you've got a coyote to keep an eye on, and it sounds like that's going to keep you very busy right there.
Well, I know, but I can't go out due to the coyote. I have watched this coyote, and I've seen her temperament, and she is...
Coyotes, I think, in general, and I don't want to speak out of turn here, but aren't that interested in the human beings, though? Like, if you had a little dog, I wouldn't let the little dog out. But I think for you, you're probably okay.
I don't know about that, Matt. You know,
I don't want to steer you wrong. I don't want you to call me back in 2 weeks and say, well, I'm short a leg now, Matt, because you said
no. Well, we have children. You know, we have children, and I've been told by someone who really knows. I've been told by, like, a guy who does this for a living. He says, but I'm waiting for someone in Springfield to give me the go-ahead to take care of this for you. And I said, and he's the one who educated me. He said, as soon as that surplus of food is not going to be out there, he says, they will start doing destructive things. He says, are there kids around? I says, yeah, kids, little dogs. I've got to warn the male people.
Yeah.
And I've had coyotes before. It's not like, you know, I don't know what they are. But this one will return because of this food being put out. And I'm just racking my brains. I've discussed this with my neighbors, and they, you know, we have an open line of communication, but they keep telling me it's a domesticated coyote.
Melanie, I really wish I had more help for you, but all of my education on coyotes comes from learning how to stop roadrunners. And so my advice would be, like, you know, get an anvil at a high place and be ready to drop it, or, you know, paint a tunnel into a wall and see if he runs into it. But that only works on roadrunners, not on coyotes. So,
well, I really, my hopes are up high that I finally find someone who knows what they're talking about, and then some docile girl calls me trying, I don't know if we can do this. And it's like, well, what happened to the person who has the gumption to get this thing?
Yeah. Well, so, you keep making the calls. You're going to find the right person, Melanie. I wish you luck with the coyote, and I'm sure that'll get taken care of. And keep talking to your neighbors. It's good that you have an open line of communication.